What should I say? Doesn't look like there are many people didn't come back again. That's exciting. You know, you keep this going, you're going to have to put some sky hooks for pews from the ceiling, you know. And that's what it's supposed to be, amen? I'm excited in a lot of ways, but I appreciate your kindness. God's allowed us to be co-laborers together with Him and with each other. And I want to thank you for your support for these 25 years. Even though the slides only show 24, we've been together more than that, and I appreciate that. And I've seen the church grow, the friendliness of the church, and I'm excited. And then I appreciate the wonderful accommodation. But nothing can do better than that breakfast that was here. I'm serious about that. That was good. I mean, a lot of people had a lot of part with the things that were prepared, and I like to joke about the goodies. I did my best not to get involved with those things. I hear them screaming, but it was wonderful. I was walking through here earlier in the evening, or early in the morning, and I thought, man, they got tables everywhere. And honestly, I didn't think that you would fill them, but I didn't know how, you know, but you did. I was excited about that. I was excited about a lot of things. I was excited about Rich, was it not, getting saved before time? God been dealing with his life, and he couldn't wait for the service. He had to get saved ahead of time. Hey, well, God's dealing, don't wait, amen? And then Nick this afternoon, that's good. We do have a great God. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We have been missionaries with BIMI 28 years. Our goal is to reach the military for the Lord Jesus Christ. In all honesty, I went to Aviano, Italy to start an independent Baptist church, and I had no intention of leaving that place. The military cycled through, so there's no reason to want to leave. Amen? But I have tried to focus on what God would have me to do. And the truth is, we didn't want to leave Italy. God wanted us to leave. I had no plans. I'm a hard-headed Syrian mule. And don't get me out of the dock. I mean, I got to get in there. I got to stay. And the truth was, when God was blessing, we were seeing our church grow. Guests come. They move people in. And the church was potentially really growing. I had a lot of visions and dreams for that church. And honestly, I fought God on moving. I didn't want to move. But I want to do what he wants. Why? I don't know. I could say he had some more things to teach me. He had more things to grow in my life. And we went to Panama. And I saw a lot of more opportunities that I had never even thought of down there in Panama. We were there 4 years. I wish God would have told me he was only going to make it a 4-year tour of duty. I don't like packing, folks. We got to pack our own boxes. We got to load them in our own containers. And we got to get there. We got to unload it again, you know. And then we got to. But he closed the base. And so we've looked to God for direction. And he put us in Mannheim, Germany. And my wife and I talk. We didn't realize we were going to stay that long. We didn't go to leave. We go till God tells us. And he closed the base. This past June, he closed the military base or bases there in Mannheim, Germany. And since God's called us to work with the United States military, we came home. And I was told to focus on a furlough, reporting back to the churches, because like your church, all these years, and I want to be a blessing to you. But I was also told, because the military is in changing, they're talking about closing a number of bases in Germany. But also know there are other places that are starting to open up. So I want you to pray for us. Number one, that I will be satisfied in being home. I'd rather be on the mission field working with the military. But I believe it's also God's will for me to be here to encourage people like you to continue giving to missions. Because that needs to happen. Money's getting tight, times are getting rough, but God's the same. And missionaries need to reach people for Christ, and our population around the world is growing. And we need to reach people for Christ. And so I want to be used of God to encourage people to continue, but doing more for missions. And people even surrendering for missions while we're here. Because God, we got a great God. So I was asked not to focus, not to decide where we're going to go yet. Until towards the end, when things are not so fluid, or maybe we can see things that would come. But pray with us on that. I can see four areas, four things that God's called us to. You didn't see them in the slides, but you saw them in the slides. We could go start another church, amen? Or we could go and take a church. Or I can go like I've done and join hands with a man, and we can do discipleship and Bible institutes or whatever. I wouldn't mind starting churches. Working with an individual hand in hand for a church to start in places that need to be started. And then once this gets going and settled, leaving that and doing it again. Or being relief, fill in. A lot of military missionaries don't have a furlough, or they can't take a week or two, sometimes maybe a month, because who's there to take their place? And that's desperately needed. So we got a lot of possibilities that God could use us in doing. We just need his direction. And the truth is, I want to be doing what he wants me to do. Amen? I would like to be a blessing to you tonight. But I also want to challenge you to do more for the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. I'd like for us to read in unison or responsively, beginning at verse 10 through verse 20. And I know your custom is standing for the reading of God's word. Amen? So let's do that. And we'll have responsive reading. I will read verse 10, and you 11, and so forth. And we'll get together and read on verse 20 of Philippians chapter 4. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you're also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 17 is the text verse. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In all honesty, when I came here, I don't know if it was 1988 or 87, one of the 2 years. I wanted your money. not for me personally, but I wanted to go to Italy and do a work that God called me to do. But that's not why I'm here today. I still need your money, but I'm not here for that. But I'm here that fruit may abound to your account. God has a lot of things he has for us. He has an investment program. But he wants it to abound. And that word abound doesn't mean just to have a big increase. It means to have a super abundant increase. Things that we might benefit here, but most definitely when we get to heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace. We don't deserve salvation, but because of your love, you made it available to us. And then we don't deserve to be used of you, but you've called us to serve you. We don't deserve any blessings, but you have many, many, many for us. Help us to focus on you tonight. And I pray just not tonight, but every day of our lives, focus on you and the things you have for us, that we may really honor and praise you and thank you for all that you do. And this I pray in the Lord Jesus' name, ask and be used tonight as you will. Amen. You may be seated. I'm excited about this passage of Scripture. I believe the Bible, all of it, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22, all the way, I think it's verse 22 in Revelation, I believe all of it's inspired of God. Amen. And each man was only a penman. The author's the Holy Spirit of God. But I look at the passage, or even if you want to say the whole book of Philippians, but I'm going to zero it in from verse 10 to verse 20. I see it as a missionary writing back to one of his supporting churches. Because Paul was thanking him for some things. That's what I want to do for you tonight. But before I do that, but I want to point out something. Paul was not at the Hampton Inn, and that's a nice place. I mean, really comfortable. But that's not where he was when this letter was being penned. He was not in any place that was convenient. He was in prison. He was in jail. He didn't have an easy time. But really, the truth of it is, you can't tell it from the letter. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You can't. Even in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice always in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. It doesn't sound like somebody's writing from prison. Amen? How many understand that? But here's what I want you to see. The reason why that is that way is because he's not focusing on his circumstances. His whole life, not just at this point in time, is focused on the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to honestly say, the churches that I've been involved in, that's what we have tried to do. When we were in Panama, when the church closed there, that was the focal point. Jesus Christ was the center in reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ through personal soul winning and missions. The church in Mannheim, it's not closed. It's closed, but it's not closed. There's no more military there, but it's, praise God, it's still going on because it's an English-speaking international Baptist church. And it's going on, and their focus has been Christ. I've mentioned people. We've had 15, 16 countries always represented in our church. Nothing had to do with the United States, nothing to do with the military. These are countries apart from that. But there was harmony, there was unity. People came there and felt the love and the presence of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ was the focal point. It's always what ought to be. And you and I in our own personal lives ought to make Jesus Christ the focal point. So no matter what it is, what happens, he's the focal point, and we find our satisfaction and contentment and peace in him. And I think that's why you find Paul this way. His focal point was Jesus Christ. Notice, I started with verse 10. Look at it. I rejoice who? Where? In where? In the Lord. Amen. Look at verse 20. Now unto who? God and our Father be glory. See, the focus. But even in the middle, two verses that you and I commonly lead, were verse 13. I can do all things through Christ. But my God shall supply you. See, in the beginning, the end of the letter, these portions of Scripture, and in between, it's all God, all Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, if we can just learn from that, we can be excited and bless people. Amen, preacher? Oh, listen, that's really what our lives ought to be focused on. And that's why we had such a harmonious church in Germany. Because Christ was always uplifted and exalted. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But then we've got to let the Bible be the guideline. I really learned that with working with the Africans. Their society is totally different than we used to. And I was wondering why I wasn't being such an influence with them until I realized their society is not like ours. Their society is a tribal society. Tribes. Each individual tribe can be different from each other. They'll fight with each other in the same country. Their education is different. Their financial structure is different. And let me tell you, their marriages are different too. Benedict, how many remember that last guy in the slide? He's child number 16 out of 30 kids. In Africa, a man can have as many wives as he can financially support. And technically, only the first one is wife. The others are concubines. What a society. Can you imagine? They don't have the Bible for the guideline. But what makes it work? God. The Word of God. Christ being the center. So let me encourage you with that. And that's what we've always tried to do with our ministries. Have Jesus Christ as the focal point. Now, look at verse 10 through 16. The thought I want you to understand is, I thank God for your care of me. That's the thought I want you to get. But I rejoice greatly in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now ye Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning, what's the next three words? Giving and receiving, but you only. Hey folks, you have been faithful to us in your giving. You've been faithful to us in our support. And I want to thank you for that. Because I know economic things change, amen? I know some of you have had some rough times. And some of you may be having some rough times right now. That's just the way it is. Missionaries do too. You have a cost of living stuff going on you. We do too. But we have a dollar that's like a roller coaster, up and down, the exchange rate. When we went to Italy, I gave them $1. And I got 1,250 euros back. That was pretty good at that time. But before the end of the year, I gave them a dollar, and I almost got a little over 1,000 euro back. Which meant what? My money dropped in value. I lost over 20% of my support. Wow! And if the churches in the States weren't faithful to me, you know what that would have done to me? Just what it did to Paul. Because sometimes he abounded and sometimes he had need. Amen? Sometimes he was hungry and sometimes he was... Hey, but the truth of that is, you have the same thing. But who did he thank God for? I can do all things through, but my God shall... See, regardless whether we're up or down or whatever it is, I thank God for that. I thank God for you because we had what we needed. And when we didn't have what we needed, we still had what we needed. You know why I say that? We're still here. We're still doing what God wants us to do, regardless. Because why? I've learned like you've learned, if you have learned it. You know what it really is? When God touches your heart to give, and here it is, and you give what he wants you to give, God's going to meet your needs. Amen? And the truth is, you are not really giving to me. You're giving to who? You're right, to God. Honestly, you're giving to God. Now, you're giving to the mission program of this church, and God directs the pastor through you. God directs the pastor, and you guys give the missions. Amen? But who takes care of me? God. Amen. Yes. To a certain extent, you give to me. But how many understand really what it is? You're giving to God. God's giving me my needs. And if he wants me to suffer needs or lack, how many understand? He will permit that no matter what you're going through. Amen? And vice versa. Because it's really God. See, that's where we really need to come to a place in our lives that we're focused on Christ. What he wants me to do. How many understand? My life has to be centered, not just on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 7 days. What's that expression? 24/7? Huh? That's really where I'd be. Paul was that way. He took care of him. He took care of me. And I want to thank you for your part, for your care of us. And I appreciate that. I really do. Without faithful supporters, it makes it harder for us. But when you have faithful supporters, I want to thank you for that. Because it talks about, look at that word communicating in verse 15. Now, you Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when he departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. That word communicated talks about sharing with others or distribution with others. And it says giving and receiving. And you folks communicated with us. Thank you. God's done a lot of great things with that, and I appreciate that. There's another thing I want to thank you for. Verse 14. I want to thank you for your prayers. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. That word communicate in 14 is different than the word communicate in 15. Now, I know in our language, communicate, right? But that's not the thought it carries. It carries the idea of to share in company with, have fellowship, or be partakers with. So you're sharing with me when we're praying. But what are you praying for? With my afflictions, my pressures, my anguishes, my burdens, my persecutions, my tribulations, my troubles. Because why? We all have them, but missionaries have them on the field. When we went to Italy, I always heard that missionaries have a hard time when it comes to getting visas to countries. You know what I did? 2 years ahead of time, I went and applied. They looked at my paperwork and examined everything. They said, everything's in order, but you're too early. Okay, that's fine with me. Said, come back a couple of months ahead of time. Or maybe a month is even sufficient. But I kept hearing missionaries having trouble. So I went a year later and applied again. I didn't want... Hey, listen, when I want to get out of town, I want to get out of Dodge, brother. I don't want to hang around. I want to get busy what God has for me to do. So I went there and applied again. And you know what happened? Everything's in order. But you're too early. So, would you believe? I'm not sure. I was trying to remember. Was it a month? I think it was a month, maybe a little bit more ahead of time. I applied. Boy, bells and whistles, alarms went off. They didn't want to let me go. Honest. They said to me, do you know where you're going? I said, Aviano. Okay. Do you know where you're going to live in Aviano? No. Do you know they want you in Aviano? No. Do you know where you're going to stay? No, I don't know. Everything they asked me, no, I don't know. Why are you going? God wants me to go. They didn't understand that either. And they said, why don't you make your visa just for the military? I said, I want anybody who wants to come. They didn't understand the gospel's for everybody. I know what they were trying to do. Keep the Catholics from coming because They want them to stay Catholics. No, no. They need to be born again believers in Christ. Amen. And I said, no. And they made me go through a lot of hoops and do a lot of things. But you know what? You guys were praying for us. They gave me, instead of a year visa, they gave me 6 months. Now, who builds the church? Whose church is it? How many understand this? The Lord's church, amen? He builds it. Well, we got there the last of March. That means April, May, June, July, August. I had to have something by September, amen? I know you guys were praying, but I couldn't find a house. And my goods were supposed to be there in 4 weeks. At the end of April, I had nothing. And the pressure of where my goods are going to come. May, nothing. And I'm really looking. June, would you believe? I finally found something. And a week later, my goods came. But that's not the end of it. We still only have 6 months to get something started. Guess what? April, May, June, the middle of July, we got to start. We started July 16th with 15 people with one saved. Church got started, amen? Because why? You guys prayed. Oh, how about this? When the money went down, you guys prayed for us. I'm sorry. We got a great God. I tell you what. In Italy, they don't speak English. How many know what they speak in Italy? Italian. Amen? Guess what I didn't know? I didn't know any Italian. But I got to live amongst the Italians. We got to shop amongst Italians. We got to rent amongst Italians. We got to do everything amongst Italians. But guess what? You prayed. Boy, whenever I needed anybody to speak Italian, God put somebody right there for me. Oh, listen, it's exciting to know that you're praying for us. Now, you may not know all the things, but you prayed through the difficulties, the hard times, and everything. We outgrew our house. How many understand it takes money to rent something? I really didn't have all the support, 100% beyond what I said I was supposed to have when I went. But they told me I needed to get out of Dodge. So I got out of Dodge. I got out of Maryland. I got out of the States. So I started with a house. I got a big house so I can rent it. That's something I thought I could afford. But we outgrew it. Then we started looking for a building. Whew, I tell you, those are exciting days. When you outgrow, hey, let me let you on a little secret. We didn't outgrow the house because of adults. We outgrew our house because of the babies. We had one bedroom set aside for a nursery. The day that we outgrew it, we had 10 babies with 10 mothers in that one small bedroom for a nursery. listen, those are exciting times. Those are challenging times. But what am I going to do? I don't know Italian. How am I going to find another place? But guess what? You guys prayed. When we were in Italy, my dad called me and said, son, unless God does a miracle, I'll be with him in 6 to 8 months. What do you think I feel like? Would you believe, as the months went on, God started blessing our church? We started growing like we hadn't grown before. Man, souls were getting saved. Our church was growing. And boy, I had a lot of great plans. But full of mixtures of emotions. I'd like to spend some time with my dad. But you prayed, amen? Oh, listen, so many times. I thank you. I remember when we were in Panama. My wife got news from, I think it was her aunt, if you don't come right home right away, you may never see your mother alive again. Man, put things on short order. Guess what? God opened doors. God plans. She got to spend some last prime days with her mother before she went to heaven. Those are exciting things because, oh, the heart-wrenching thing of being apart, but yet God put things together. Hey, the truth of the matter is, He's the one that supplies all the needs. One of the hardest things for my wife, we have three kids, and they all have children. So guess what? That makes us grandparents. You know what grandmas like to do? Be around their grandbabies. But we don't get a chance to do that. We had our two sets grow up. We didn't spend much time with them. And that's one reason why I don't really push my wife to come, even though she has high blood pressure. She has a chance to be grandma. But the truth is, we had a lot of grandkids in the military. Hey, listen, what am I trying to say? You guys prayed for us during the good times and difficult times. And I want to thank you for your prayers. And let me encourage you to read your missionary prayer letters. Because missionaries go through some difficult times, and many times you don't understand. We don't expect you to totally understand, because why? You're not walking where we're walking. Until you walk in somebody's shoes or in the past, you don't really understand some things. How many of you ever lived outside the United States? How do you communicate when you don't know their language? How many understand what I'm saying? It takes prayer. Because God could do all things. Hey, and we have a great God. Oh, listen. And then the churches we started, the difficult things we had to go through. Boy, those were exciting things, but you prayed for us. I want to thank you. Amen. But I thank God, according to verse 17, that there is fruit to your account. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit. I realize, and I don't have my notes with me. Let me try to go by memory. There's a difference between saving and investing. I figured out if you took $50 a month and saved it for 42 years, you'd have a little over $25,000. How many understand? That's not bad. But if you take $50 a month and invest it in 42 years, you'd have over $172,000. And God's wanting you to invest your money. Invest it in souls. Yes, because He multiplies it. Think about it. Your dollars equate to souls. Your dollars equate whenever we start a church and souls get saved. You know who gets credit for those things? All of us. Because we're co-laborers together with God. It's just not me and God. It's you too. And so when you're investing in missions, you're investing. You're not saving. You're investing. And let me encourage you to invest. I don't know if you use faith promise or not. I really believe in faith promise. Because God will give you money for missions that He won't give you any other way. I'm a testimony of that because I've been involved with faith promise missions since 1978. We teach our mission, our military on the mission field to give to missions just like you're taught to give to missions and to trust God. And I see military people time and time and time again, praise God, not just for tithing, but investing in missions and how God met their needs, got them out of debt. And that one family, you saw their picture, God gave them a car before they left Italy or Germany. Because they learned how to give. But the key is letting God increase your faith. Do you want to work? How many? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands on it, but think all the way through on this. Do you want to invest out of your funds or God's funds? What do you want to invest in? What you have or what God has? How many understand what I'm asking? You have limited resources. Amen? You do. But how limited is God's? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth in all the earth. He has unlimited resources. Amen?
And God wants you to learn. He's going to challenge you when you have faith promise to give more than what you did last time. But if you're going to do it His way, you're going to listen. And when you increase your giving by what He wants you to increase it by, He's going to supply that for you. So you'll start working out of His, not yours. And I know we all start. I don't share this too often, but I've never been faith promised until 1978. Our pastor challenged us to faith promises. And I did just like some of you did, if not all of you. I faced it for the first time. But I'm on the staff. I'm expected to do it. But I pray just like you pray. I ask God to lay a figure on my heart. And when He did, I said, "Are you sure of that?" I'm like, "You got to make sure God really telling me this." And I do just like you did. I sat down and figured it all out mathematically. Will it work? Because I'm going to increase my giving like I've never increased it before. And I don't know if the money's there, but I'm going to sit down and figure it all out. And guess what? It figured it's going to work. So I was sort of, you know. But I gave it. First Sunday came, I gave my tithe, I gave my faith promise. And my next paycheck, because I got paid twice a month, I realized I'm supposed to give faith promise again. But I said to myself, "You didn't equate it this way." I have no idea how this is going to work. I mean, the faith promise is double what I was thinking. Lord, if you don't give me this money, I'm going to be in trouble. Guess what? I gave it. And guess what? I faced the same decision again. And faced it again. And faced it again. You know what? I found out He did what He's supposed to do. And we've increased our faith promise every year. It's exciting to trust God. And I have no idea how He's going to do it. I just know He will. But that's not my responsibility. You know what my responsibility is? Praying and having a willing heart to let God use me. Because that's where your investing really is. Because you're going to invest out of God's pocket, not your own. Amen? No. Back in the 1800s, and I realize none of you are that old, they didn't have all the things. You didn't have cars where you went to the Lowe's or what's beside Lowe's? Home Depot. And you go to Aldi or some of these grocery stores. They had basically a general store. But Johnny rode with his dad in the buckboard to the store, general store. And he gave Mr. Wilson his list for him to fill. And Johnny went over and looked at the candy area. Johnny's eyes, boy. But he knew they couldn't afford the candy. But he went there and dreamed anyway. And Mr. Wilson said, "Johnny, help yourself." Johnny just stood there looking at the candy. And his dad realized that he wasn't getting into the candy like Mr. Wilson said he could. So he said, "Son, Mr. Wilson said you can have some candy. Help yourself." But you know what Johnny did? Just stood there, looking at the candy. Ooh. His eyes, you could just see. Just stood there. Mr. Wilson said, "John, it's okay." But Johnny just stood there looking at the candy. Well, he got the old buckboard reloaded and everything else, so Mr. Wilson says, "John, come here." Mr. Wilson reached on the counter and got a paper bag and popped it open, reached in there, got a handful of candy, put it in the bag, and gave it to Johnny. Johnny smiled from ear to ear. Went out on the buckboard, went right home, and John's dad said, "Son, why didn't you help yourself to the candy? Mr. Wilson said, help yourself. Why didn't you help yourself?" Johnny says, "Mr. Wilson's got a bigger hand than I do." Hey, God's got a bigger hand than what you and than I have. God wants you to invest. And I'm excited to say the churches in Vicenza, Italy, and Aviano are going on. Yes. Souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. See, you're investing not in material things, but spiritual, eternity things. You're investing in the souls. And these military, many of them are called to preach. Many of them are called to the mission field. Or some just are faithful servants of God in their churches. But souls are being saved and lives are being changed. And they're going on. And you have a part. But remember, the more you invest, the more returns you'll get. Amen? So I want to thank you. I want to say, for allowing me to be a channel or an instrument for you to be blessed. Because the truth is, far as I'm concerned, that's all I am. I'm an instrument used of God in His hand that He uses in the lives of people. That's all I am. Because I'm not the important one. Jesus Christ is the important one. And people, as they face difficulties, they're facing God and what He's doing in their life. They're not, difficulties, not me. The difficulty is what God is doing. And I'm just there to be an encouragement and a help. Just like Nick. I didn't win him. God, the Holy Spirit, dealt with him. Rick, God worked in his life. And he had to deal with God dealing with his heart. And all we are is instruments. And God wants to use you as instruments for His honor and glory. There's some of you tonight, potentially God wants you to be a missionary. Yeah. Missionaries don't come from Bible schools. God calls missionaries out of the church. Out of the pews, right there. God sometimes wants you to be a full-time Christian service.
My wife and I, and I ought to figure out, we were either 43 or 44 when we went to the mission field. Can you imagine that? We're not young kids. And God used that twice already for us going to the mission field at that age. There's a man, I can't spend the time, I'd love to tell this time, that God, what God did in this man's life, his family's life, from John Deere, a high executive. But he told me, my wife and I were a real encouragement to him. Because God is dealing with him about becoming a missionary. You know what? I think he might be approaching his 40s. Praise the Lord! Amen?
I'm preaching in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They got the war college there, military war college. There was a lieutenant colonel
getting close to retirement. And I mentioned to him, or to the church, and he was part of it, that we were 30, 43 or 44. He says, you know, I never thought about that. But you put something in my mind, in my heart to think about. The guy can retire from the military and go to be a missionary. Wow! But there are a lot of military retiring and going and serving God full time. But that's them. What about you? What about you? See, if we'll focus on Jesus Christ, making Him the center of our life, and we'll do every day what He wants us to do, He might lead you. I can't say. But the thing is this, and I'll close with this illustration. I preached in Naples, Italy, one Sunday. Naples, Italy is filled with the Navy. That's my crew, boy. But I told the Navy this. God allowed them to see places around the world that you will never see. And for them to get out of the military and not ask God, does he want to be a missionary, they're wrong. Because they've seen a lot of needs around the world. The key is not, God, I'm going to go. The key is, Lord, do you want me? That's the key to all of our life. Lord, what do you want me to do? It's opening to God. It doesn't make any difference what it is, as long as we're open. Our spirit is open to whatever God wants us to do. That's the key. Amen? And blessings come after that. They really do. That's the biggest difficulty in our lives, is not our openness to whatever God wants. Let me challenge you that. So in closing, thank you
for your support. Thank you for your prayers. The challenge is, would you let God make you a blessing? Open your lives. Now, I realize sometimes people are not saved. I mentioned that this morning. Amen? You got to be saved first. What God wants from you is knowing for sure that when you die, you go to heaven. He wants you to make him your Savior. That's where things start. If you're not saved, that's what you need to do tonight. You need to get saved. If you're a child of God, your heart needs to be open for whatever God wants you to do. Let me think what it is. Where are you tonight in relationship with Jesus Christ? Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Father, once again, we thank you for this evening that we could be gathered around your word. Lord, only you know how you have spoken to each and every heart, moms and dads, young people. And Lord, many times from the pulpit I have challenged not just the young people, but pointedly about handing you a blank sheet with their signature that you might fill it in. And Father, you know exactly the purpose and the plan that you have for the young people, as well as moms and dads that are gathered here tonight. Lord, I'm convinced that your spirit has tweaked some hearts, touched some hearts, to begin to think more seriously, not what I want to do with my life, but Lord, what you want me to do with my life. So, Father, in this invitation time, we pray that you'll speak more pointedly and more directly. The young people, moms and dads, will listen and become obedient. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Tonight, I'm wondering tonight, God has spoken to you. And I work with you young people Sunday mornings and as often as I can. And I know that some of you have got your lives all mapped out. How much of that mapping is by God as opposed to yourself? And tonight, understanding the great need and the great challenge, you would now reconsider and say, you know what? I really have been a little bit selfish with my life. And if God can use me, if God wants me, I'm willing to give him that blank sheet of paper and put my signature on the bottom and say, Lord, you fill it in accordingly. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We ask Diane if she'd come and make her way to the piano. In a few moments, we're going to sing So Send I You. But you say tonight as a young person, say, preacher, I've heard you say that a number of times, and I really kind of turned a deaf ear, but tonight God's really spoken to me and said, I need to reconsider some things here. Would you pray for me in closing tonight? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just slip your hand up right where you are and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to reconsider some things about my life. That Jesus Christ really has not been the central focal of my day. Preacher, would you pray for me today? Moms and dads, how about you? We hear that old expression that the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Our kids know when the Lord's not the center of our lives. Our kids know when He's not the focal point of our everyday. They see how you fret and stew and worry rather than just take it to the Lord and get up from your knees and walk away saying, you know what? It's in the hands of the Lord. They know that. Mom, Dad, how about you tonight? Maybe moms and dads need to take that first step. Preacher, pray for me. I want Jesus Christ to become the center of my every single day. He needs to be the reason I get up in the morning. He's the reason I need to go throughout this day. And when day's end, I want to be able to look back and say, this was a day I lived for the Lord. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? Is there anyone here tonight? Yes, several hands are here. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? Young people, don't get any more serious than this tonight. You can play all the silly games you want to play, but at some point in your life, you're going to look back and say, I should have listened. I should have listened. Or you could say, I'm glad I did listen to what the Spirit said. And I don't want to labor the invitation tonight, but God's spoken to you. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing tonight? Anyone at all, preacher, would you pray for me tonight? Yes. See, been several hands here tonight. If you've never been involved in Faith Promise, like Brother John, the wife and I, we got involved in Faith Promise back in the early to mid-70s. And it has been one of the most joyful experiences of the Christian life to be able to give and to give liberally as God leads. And heads bowed, I'm just going to give one more invitation tonight, and it is that you would seriously consider getting involved in Faith Promise. Getting along with the Lord this week, saying, Lord, I want to be a part of the mission giving of prayer and finances. I don't know how I'm going to do it, Lord. I have no idea. That's not for you to worry about. That's the Lord. You just say, Lord, here am I. Use me. That's what it's all about. I want you to consider that. How many of you tonight would raise your hand and simply say, preacher, I'm going to pray about that this week. I want to get involved. Yes. Preacher, I want to get involved in Faith Promise giving. And if you need an explanation, Brother John and I will be glad to talk with you after the evening service, give you a little more fuller explanation. But I know that we can do so much more in our missions when God's people let God use them. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song, Brother Steve, if you'd come. Page number is 557. But you know what? As God's spoken to your heart, maybe this morning in the morning's message. Close it again. 557. 557. 557. And you know, one of the things that happens when you receive Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, and you step out and you come forward and you thank and rejoice the Lord for His having saved you, or maybe giving you a second chance, and you come forward and you do that, it solidifies what you did. You're really putting the devil on notice and say, you know what? I'm no longer yours. I belong to the Lord. And He receives you very joyfully. He that will confess me before men, Him will I confess before my Heavenly Father. Amen. So if you need to come to the altar tonight during this time, if you want someone to pray with you, we'll pray with you. Ladies, we'll have a lady pray with you. Men, we'll have a man pray with you tonight. If you'd like to come forward tonight, meet at the altar for whatever, however God has spoken. Maybe you're wrestling with this idea of surrender. You get it all mapped out and you're not sure how that's going to play out. You bring it to the altar and say, Lord, I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but I'm going to give it to you. And Lord, if this is not what you want, you let me know in uncertain terms. And He will. maybe that's what you're afraid of. I don't know. But you give your life to God and you'll never regret it. Just there.
So send I you to labor on reward.
Would you come tonight? God's calling you. God spoke into your heart tonight. Seems like it's forever from where it is that you are tonight. But listen, it's a lot longer in eternity than it is from where you are to the altar tonight. God spoke into your heart. You want to step out tonight. Maybe you want to begin to commit yourself to Faith Promise. You, Lord, I have no idea, but you're willing to come forward and say, Lord, I'm willing to get involved. I want to get involved in finances. I want to get involved in prayer. But you need to come out tonight and just simply say, Lord, this is me, and I'm giving my life to you tonight. Maybe you just need to lay your wallet on the altar. I don't know. However God's spoken to you tonight.
So send I you to suffer for my sin. So send I you to
would you you come tonight, God's spoken. Maybe it's just a rededication of your home, a rededication of your own personal life. Letting God know that what He once had is still His, or what He once had is given back to Him in the way of your home.
So send I you to know my love. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your love.
Would you come tonight if God spoke in your heart? We're going to sing one more stanza. Oh my, if God's spoken to your heart tonight, don't walk out of here letting the devil get the victory. He's tugging you one way and God's drawing you the other. But you know what? God's not going to draw you just so long. And He's going to say, listen, hey, if you want to serve the devil, then that's your choice. But He won't bless you for it. And the devil doesn't bless you for it either. He'll do everything he can to destroy and to ruin your life and to ruin your future. Make your decision tonight. Because you don't know if you've got tomorrow. On that last stanza, so send I you to hearts made hard by hatred. You know, there's a lot of folk out there today who hate God, hate the gospel, and those are the ones that God's called us to minister to tonight. And God wants you tonight. On that last stanza,
so send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see. To spend though it be blood to spend, then spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father has sent me, so send I you.
If you're saved tonight, God's sending you out of here to talk to someone this week. Maybe that co-worker, maybe a classmate, young people, maybe a teammate, one of the fellow team members. God's calling you, sending you out to talk to them about the things of the Lord. Don't disappoint the Lord. Amen. If you want to talk about faith promise, John and I'll meet with you, explain a little bit about it, do it for you. Like I say, Peg and I have been involved for, well, ever since I've been in, even just before the ministry, been involved in it. And it has really been a blessing. A blessing you can't even begin to understand until you actually get involved and do it. Amen? Amen. Let's be dismissed in word of prayer. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us tonight, please?
Our Father, again, tonight, we're so thankful for the word that we've heard tonight. And Father, may you leave here and rejoicing in all we have in Christ. But Lord, not just rejoicing, but Lord, leave here telling others about what the wonderful love that Christ can do to them. But Father, we pray now that you be with each and every one here through our separate ways, that your watch care will be over each and every one. Lord, that you meet the needs of their life, their physical, their spiritual, their financial needs. But Father, be with us now, dear, we need you. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do now in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen.